Welcome to another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast, a production of the Criminal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School in Charlottesville, Virginia. Every 2 weeks, we release a new episode. Today, we're going to have a conversation about a recent opinion from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. Please note that these episodes may contain facts and circumstances surrounding criminal trials. Listener discretion is advised.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable United States Court of Appeals of the Armed Forces is now open and in session. God save the United States of America in this honorable court.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Criminal Law Presents CAF Chats. I'm joined today by Major James Barrett.
Dustin, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you, James?
I'm hanging in there. I'm excited to talk about United States versus Williams.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about an interesting appellate issue in United States versus Jaheimi Williams. First name's important because another United States versus Williams we'll talk about later in another episode. This case was argued on May 7th, 2024, and decided by CAF on September 5th, 2024. James, what's going on here in Williams?
So Williams is actually a question about whether the Army Court of Criminal Appeals had the authority to mess with the statement of trial results. And it's going to be a not as complicated case as it needs to be, but definitely a lot of analysis going in for a simple, we'll call block check. And so in this case, you have the appellant pleading guilty to contacting his wife in violation of MPO. And he went to trial, pled guilty, and bargained for a BCD. So this comes up to ACCA under regular Article 66 review, mandatory review. When somebody pleads guilty or there's a trial, any trial, where there's been an arraignment, there's going to be what we call a statement of trial results. And that's going to be executed by Article 60 of the UCMJ, or actually mandated by Congress. And that requires three things. That requires an annotation of the plea and findings, the sentence, if any, and what the president may prescribe. So the president then goes ahead and prescribes RCM 1101, and he adds some things that he wants per the statutory grant of authority. And then he says, hey, you know what, secretaries, you guys can go ahead and add some stuff too. And that's where AR 2710 adds some things for the Army's statement of trial results. And one of those happens to be whether the conviction is a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. And that is a block check of yes or no. And so in this case, the appellant pleads guilty to violating an MPO. And the military judge in this case initially checks block 32, yes, that it is a crime of domestic violence. Now, the military judge, as everybody should do before they sign something again, is they triple check and they relook at the statement of trial results that they signed maybe 45 days ago, 3 months ago. And he notices that block 32 is checked yes. And actually, because this is not a crime of violence, that answer should be no. And he changes it back to no. Now, when the case goes back up on appeal, it is summarily affirmed by ACCA. That means they just say, hey, we reviewed it and all findings in this court martial are correct in law and fact. And that's the opinion. But what ACCA does is they drop a footnote and they say, hey, we noticed that the military judge initially said yes, changed it back to no. We direct that it goes back to yes. And that has consequences for the accused because now convicted of a crime of misdemeanor domestic violence, and now that has Lautenberg firearm restrictions implications. The accused then goes ahead and appeals that to the CAF, and the CAF certifies two issues. The first issue is, does ACCA even have authority to do this? And then the second issue is revolving around current litigation about 922G and the Supreme Court case Bruin about whether that's firearms prohibition is constitutional or not.
Yeah, and that it's interesting because the question for the military judge came down to whether or not this is a violent offense, which is indicated in 922. When you say MPO violation, what we're talking about is he violated a protective order issued by military authorities. So basically, he was brought into his commander's office and counseled and told directly, you will not have contact with your intimate partner because of some allegations of domestic violence. And him violating that is what led to the charge here. It is categorized broadly in our domestic violence because our domestic violence statute is huge and criminalizes five distinct things. One of those is an MPO violation, but legitimate question on whether or not the violation of an order to not contact someone is a per se violent offense.
Yeah, under our statutory scheme of 128B, domestic violence encompasses an MPO violation, but a text message that could say, you know, how are the kids, violates that MPO and would be under the domestic violence statute.
Yeah, so legitimate question on whether or not this should count for purposes of that federal statute. So have what the questions the CAF's looking at here. So what do they do ultimately with this case?
So ultimately, to skip to the end, they say that ACCA did not have the authority. But to get there, they first ask themselves whether they themselves have the jurisdiction to even review this case. It's important for the listeners to remember that we're military courts and we're established by Congress under their powers under Article 1 to raise a Navy. And so CAF is going to be very protective, I think, of what they can and can't do because we're created by statute and we don't have inherent judicial power like Article 3 courts do. And so CAF first says, hey, do we even have jurisdiction ourselves? And they look at the three things that they have jurisdiction over. That's sentence of death. They have a mandatory review of that. Whether a TJAG certifies the case for them to review, and then whether the accused petitions. And parties kind of disagreed about what gave the CAF authority to review this case, but they ultimately hung their hat on Article 67 C1B, and they said that at a minimum, because the STR was incorporated into the judgment, they have the ability to potentially vacate or say, good to go on this case. And then from there, they go ahead and jump into the analysis about whether ACCA has the authority to do what they did.
And this jurisdictional finding from them was not a given. And I know you and I in our office spent, you know, an hour at least spinning our wheels on whether or not this would qualify. So good for them to clear that up at least.
No, it is. And I think as things progress, you might see, you know, as the creative juices get flowing with people, either at the trial level or at the appellate level, you may see these issues continue to percolate about, hey, what is this really a CAF issue?
Right.
But no, it would say something that definitely needs to be discussed. So CAF go ahead and goes through the analysis that I kind of just went through. Hey, we're an Article 1 court. They have only power that Congress gave them. And they say that's also true for ACCA as well under Article 66. And ACCA has the power to review findings and sentence. Findings and sentence. And so the CAF goes through and they say, well, hey, RCM says the sentence is a punishment of judge. And they point to RCM 1003 B1 through 9. Then they, and this is kind of a little nugget for the practitioners out there, they do say that the sentence does not include collateral consequences. And they go ahead and cite United States versus Talkington for that proposition, the sex offender registration.
Yeah, CAF's been crystal clear time and time again that you will not mention and they're not relevant any kind of collateral consequence like this. And Talkington remains to be a permanent fixture for that proposition.
And I know there's strong feelings about that out there.
Yes.
So continue to litigate and be creative. And then so they ultimately find that Block 32 is not part of the findings and sentence. Therefore, ACCA had no authority to mess with that block. They again reiterate that a finding is a summary of charges, specifications, plea, or disposition, and then the sentence, in this case, that Lautenberg issue, is nothing that the court can adjudge. And so it's that other information. And so to get here to CAF, to start where we began, this was a statutory requirement by Congress to do the STR that they gave the president the power to add some things to. The president then added some things through RCM 1101, like forum, plea agreements, things of that nature. And then the president said, hey, secretaries, anything else you want? And secretaries went ahead, added Block 32. So a cascade of delegation through an Army regulation ended up at the CAF. I will say, Dustin, this is an interesting question because I don't think this type of issue is going to go away because in United States versus W01 Birch, 2024 CCA Lexus 446 that I believe was just issued maybe just a week or two ago, they drop a footnote when discussing post-trial error in that case, and they say, Although not directly relevant to our holding, we also note that in Williams, the CAF did not address RCM 1101E2, which provides that the Court of Criminal Appeals, the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, and the Judge Advocate General or the Judge Advocate General's designee may modify the statement of trial results in the performance of its duties. That's important because under the RCMs that this case, Williams went through the system with, that did not exist in RCM 1101. This is something that was added to the new 2024 manual. And so it'll be an interesting question whether this somehow fixes the holding in Williams. Personally, somewhat skeptical. Still statutory construction, but there's a whole bunch of different things at play. So definitely not the end of the line, and definitely not something that the service courts have not taken notice of as we move forward.
Yeah, it's an interesting question between when you have a statute saying one thing and then the presidential implementation guidance saying another, what wins? I mean, we've seen how CAF comes down on that time and time again.
So. Yes. And I will reiterate, though, for the field, and we've been a common theme for the last couple podcasts that you and I have at least done together, is you got to read the statute.
Yeah.
And even in this case, Judge Hardy doesn't disappoint our reading the statute, because in footnote one, plasters Slotenberg amendment right there for everybody to read. And so if you're acting under any type of authority, especially in the military context, and you're looking at a crime or anything like that, or especially though for our courts, go read the statute.
Yeah.
Because if the statute constrains, I don't think the RCMs potentially is going to be able to expand it, but that's for all the practitioners out there who are in it and very, very smart.
Yeah, and you just said kind of the key word for me. If the statute restrains, the RCM can't expand. I mean, look at Brown, look
yes.
at Strotman as recent examples of CAF being like, yep, the president can restrict, and we're going to give that deference if they do. But if they expand, that's a whole nother thing, I think.
And I don't know how long this podcast is going to be, but head already hurts a little bit trying to think through all this stuff.
This is complicated stuff. And this issue is not dead. I mean, there's a whole host of other cases and trailers that are going to try to answer this 922 question this term. So maybe we'll get an answer on that as well.
Maybe as well. And with this post-trial stuff, what it does enforce is whether you're government counsel or whether you're defense counsel, especially if you're defense counsel. You know, once you get through that court-martial, you got on the deal, hard-fought, contested, or guilty plea, your job doesn't end.
Yeah.
Read the statement of trial results. Make sure you understand what is going into the statement of trial results, why it's going into the statement of trial results, and then don't be afraid to speak up, whether it's with your senior defense counsel, chief of justice, DCAP, TCAP. Go ahead and speak up, because it shouldn't be, it is ultimately probably the military judge's responsibility to make sure it's right, but you still have to advocate for your client and make sure that these documents are saying what they said, because it's easy to get a military judge to fix something versus, I don't know, 2 years later trying to go to the FBI database and say, hey, could you fix this for me?
Yeah, and I think making sure your client, if you're a defense counsel, understands that this could be a natural consequence of the deal. Because I think this is a different case had this been part and parcel of the understanding of the accused going into it. I mean, this could lead to judges asking that question if they wanted to have something on the record to maybe allow a look down the road.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because the judge did do that in this case and made sure that they understood that Lautenberg would not be triggered. And if you want to read that Burke case that I cited earlier, in that case, even aside from the footnote, it had to do with a plea deal in which Lautenberg was fundamentally misunderstood by the parties. And so, yeah, this isn't going away.
No, for sure it's not. Okay, that wraps it up for another appellate issue case. Join us next week, as always. Please like and subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Criminal Law Department Presents podcast. If anything you heard sparked a thought, we'd love to connect with you. Your comments help us create better future content for the field or the fleet. Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode. The views expressed in today's podcast are those of the presenters and not necessarily the Judge Advocate General or the Department of the Army or the Department of Defense.
Thanks, counsel, for both sides. And the court will stand in recess until further order of the court.